Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
It's nippy today. Someone, I know when I moved up here, people say there's two seasons, winter and winter is coming, right? And I know that. Before I go much into our sermon, where's Sarah? Did she leave? Oh, she was so good in Annie Get Your Gun. I mean, what a gift we have in Sarah. She can sing, she can dance, she can play the piano, and she can shoot a gun. I just found that out. And we're thinking about having this as our new outreach to bring new members in. We'll send her out with one of her sharp shooting guns. You ever run into that particular person who has a bad day? Sometimes it's more than a bad day. It could be a bad year. And occasionally you run into that one individual that really has had a bad life as far as being somewhat of an antagonist. But we've all run into those type of people that have seemed to have gotten out of the wrong side of bed. Is that right? I remember a story of a mother who tried to get her son up for church. So she was always trying to get him, and he was always resistant. And one morning, she tried to get him up, and he said, "I'm not going to church." And she said, "You have to go to church." He said, "I'm not going to church." And then she said, "Son, give me three reasons why you're not going to church." And he said, "Well, that's easy. Number one, they don't like me. Number two, I don't like them. And number three, it's boring. So, Mom, if you want me to go to church, you give me three reasons." She says, "Dear, that's very easy. Number one, everybody loves you. Number two, you're 35. Number three, you're the pastor." So even we have our bad days. But there are times you run into people with perpetual bad hair days. And you know, they kind of look like this. I'm not going to put this on. This is a hat though, but I'm not going to put it. May touch my head. But they kind of look like this. You know, they become wolves. And yes, sometimes they travel in packs. You've seen that. They travel in packs. And their sole responsibility is to make your life miserable. You've talked to those people. You know some of those people. Some people call them antagonists. I'm going to put Mr. Wolf here. Some people call them antagonists. And antagonists are those people who kind of stir up tension. And they're always coming at us in our lives. They have a contentious spirit. They're both out there, and there are some in the church. Today's message is the last part of the three-part series that I'm doing on the people we will meet. And yes, we will meet people that have perpetual bad hair days. And we will have to be tested as we grow as a church. So I call today the antagonist, or dealing with people having bad hair days. And our scripture is from Ephesians 4:1-7. You can turn to your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll be reading verse 1-7. But before I start, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "God loves you even when you have bad hair days, and so do I." You got that? God loves you even though you have bad hair days, and so do I. Okay? Let's go to today's scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1-7, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we grow as a church, I just always ask for your divine intervention in all the different types of people that we deal with, including ourselves. I ask, Lord, that you will, through your word, teach us how we handle those really difficult people that sometimes don't seem to like us and are always coming at us. Lord, please use me. Please be part of my heart and part of my speech and part of my thoughts as I give this message. We ask for your divine anointing so that we all may open our minds and our hearts to hear your word and be able to apply those words to our lives. And I pray this in your holy and precious name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I thought long and hard about this sermon. It was one I did not want to give because I did not want to do any finger pointing. Matter of fact, when I was given the series, I was just given the series titles. I wasn't given the sermon. And when God told me to do one on the antagonist, I almost wanted to run. Matter of fact, I think I asked Jim to do the service or do the... Of course, he says, no, that's my job. But anyways, but then I came to the realization, and God gave me this realization, that if we're really to change people that have bad hair days, the change comes from changing us first. Does that make sense? In order to change people, many times we have to change ourselves and how we react and how we talk and how we walk our talk and how we deal with them. In Ephesians, Paul continues to talk about who we are as Christians and the necessity of unity, unity as a church, if we're going to have an impact in this world, especially if we're to have an impact here in this community. Let's review these scripture passages and let's kind of unpack them and see what they mean for us and see how it means for us as we do have to deal with these types of people, okay? Paul begins chapter 4 by saying, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. If we're to neutralize the people in our lives that seem to have bad hair days, we really need to walk our talk. And what Paul is saying here, he says, I urge you. That word urge is parakaleo, and it means I beg you. He's saying, I beg you as a prisoner of the Lord. Not a prisoner in the sense of being locked up, but a prisoner in the sense of his passion to go and do whatever Christ wants him to do. He says, I beg you, I urge you. I'm down on my knees saying to you, live a life worthy of your calling. Live a life worthy of your calling. Worthy means of equal weight. I call you saints intentionally because Christ calls us saints. Living worthy is living up to the standard that God has made for us and living up to how he has defined us. Does that make sense? If he defines us as saints, he says, live worthy of that calling. Live worthy about who you are. You know, we're Christians and we're to be Christ-likeans. Christ-likeans. Wood's commentary says this. In other words, they are to see to it that they practice what they preach, that their experience measures up to their standing in grace. Isn't that beautiful? That your experience and who you are measures up to your standing of the grace that God gives us. The grace that God gives us. I heard a story once about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was out in a battle, and he's riding and watching his soldiers, and he's charging the enemy. And he comes up to a young man who was slowly retreating and slowly backing up and slowly trying to remove himself from the war. Alexander rides up to him and says, "Son, what is your name?" And the young man says, "My name is Alexander, just like yours." And he looks down at him and says, "Son, if that's what your name is, you either get in the battle or change your name." We need to walk our talk. We need to change ourselves worthy of the calling that God has given all of us. He says, be completely humble. That word means be as low as possible. It says lowliness as far as a deep sense of our own moral failures and how inadequate we are without a Savior. He wants us to think about that. And take a lower standing to those around us to try to get us. John Bradford, on seeing several criminals being led to the gallows in the 15th century, remarked this, and you've all heard this. "There, but for the grace of God, go John Bradford." See, when we can understand our moral failures, we certainly can understand the motives of some bad-haired people. Does that make sense to you? And there's a time we always have to step back and say the words, "But for the grace of God, there go I." Can we say that? "But for the grace of God, there go I." So we need to be completely humble. Also, we need to be gentle. And the word for gentle is praotes, praotes. But gentle also means meekness. And let me tell you this, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. It suggests having one's emotions under control. It is the difference between being very angry or not being angry at all. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says this: "One who is controlled by God is angry at the right time, but never angry at the wrong time." There's nothing wrong with righteous anger, as long as God controls it and you don't. Even Jesus was angry with the money changers. And Moses was angry with the people. But meekness is controlling that. Controlling that and having God control that in your life. In the Greek, it was used for a horse that was broken to drive the chariots. Because he had such force, such power. And it was strength or power that was under total control of the chariot driver. We're to be meek, which means we put ourselves under total control of God who drives us. We have to do that, have that meekness, because people will get angry, try to make us angry. But we got to remember that we probably made God very, very angry one day, maybe every day. That sometimes we're not different than them, and we got to say to ourselves, but for the grace of God, there go I. Paul says, be patient. Patience here is in the Greek means long-suffering, and it refers to resolve patience. Patience that says, I will not let them bad hair guys get me down. I will be steadfast. I will love them to death, because it may cause my death. I will love them as much as I can, every day and every way. I know that they will hurt me, but I will still love them. Isn't Scripture wonderful? Be patient, long-suffering. Bible commentary says, patience is a spirit which never gives up, for it endures to the end, even in times of adversity. Even in times of adversity. If we want bad hair day people to give us patience, we need to give them patience. And why? But for the grace of God, there go I. Then Paul goes on, we need to bear one another in love. And that means we are to be patient and be able to carry one another in conflict. Forbearing is, in the Greek, is anekō, meaning to hold up, to sustain, to bear with, to endure. And he says, we need to endure this in love. We need to endure this in love. We are to bear with each other through misunderstandings, as unkind words are said to us, and unkind actions sometimes are done to us. We're supposed to do this in love, and not just the love that we have, but the love that God gives us. The love of forgiveness. The love that sent Christ to the cross to die for us. That forgiving love. Because he did that for us. So we're supposed to bear one another in love. Maybe we say bear and grin it, I don't know. But you know what I mean. Bear it in love. Because God has forgiven us. And we say to ourselves, but for the grace of God, there go I. Paul goes on to talk about the necessity of the unity of the church. He talks about the unity which will help us stay together, that will help unite us, the common ground that helps unite us so nobody can get through. Do you know what I mean? So nobody with a bad hair day is going to disrupt who we are and what we do. And hopefully, a unity in which we can change those that are trying to change us. Paul says, make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So we're supposed to make effort to keep unity, for together we stand as a church, and divided, you know the answer, divided we fall. Paul says we need to keep. Now get this, keep. That word in the Greek Tereo means to keep by guarding it, to guard by exercising watchful care. Unity within the church is of the utmost importance. It only takes one bad hair guy, one antagonist, that can destroy that unity and scatter all of us. You've seen that happen in workplaces. You've seen that happen with friends or what you thought were friends. So we need to guard it. We need to keep it. And Paul goes on to say, here's what unites us. Here is what unites us. What unites us is one body of Christ. You know, we belong to the universal church. The universal church is not a denomination. It's not a building and it's not a location. The universal church is all of us that have a true relationship with the living God. It's basically all of us. What unites us? What unites us is Jesus Christ, doesn't it? We're part of the body of Christ. We're an operating organism that God uses to change people's lives. We're supposed to be one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit who walks with us, who talks with us, who comforts us, who encourages us, and sometimes help us talk to others in very difficult times. We have one hope. We're all united with that one hope, that Christ has died for us, and we will have eternal life. We will have an abundant life here on earth, and he will come back for us to take us to a heavenly realm, an eternal life. That's the hope we have. That's what binds us together in unity. We have one Lord. People can talk about different religions, all roads leading to the same God. I'm afraid that's not true. We have one Lord. I've only had one God that I've seen as sacrifice for me. I've never seen any other religions where that God sacrifices themselves for the common man. We have one Lord. We're united in having one Lord, one Savior who went to the cross and died for us. He died for us, he lives with us, and one day he will come for us. One Savior, one Lord. We have a common faith. We have a common faith in this God, an almighty God, a creator. We have one baptism, and what they say about one baptism is those of us who have been baptized, we've made that outward proclamation to the world that I made this commitment. It's sort of like a marriage vow that you've made. And we've all made that vow. Those that have been baptized have made that vow. I'm with you. This is the walk I'm going to have. I want that personal relationship. I want that ring on my finger. And I want us to walk together each and every day. One baptism. We're all together with that, aren't we? Aren't we? One baptism. We have one God and Father. One God and Father. A Father that can meet all the needs that we ever wanted to meet when we were growing up. A Father that cares about us. A Father that entreats us. A Father that wants a walking, talking relationship with us. A Father that puts us number one, a Father that makes us heir to a kingdom. A Father that brings us into a royal priesthood. One Father. Those are the things that unite us. It's not all the doctrine, but doctrine's good, don't get me wrong. But it's the primary foundations and essentials of our faith that unites us. That keeps the antagonists and bad hair people from destroying us and taking us apart. Paul ends with this in verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Christ has given all of us grace in the gifts that he's given us. And he's given this body of believers so many gifts to operate, to change lives and influence people for them. You know, the next verses are the familiar verses. God has given some to be apostles, some to be disciples, some to be preachers, some to be teachers. But he's also made those some to be plumbers, some to be mechanics, some to be technicians, some to be drivers, some to be cleaners, some to be cooks, all operating together. And yes, some to be the ones that pray for all of us. Pray for all of us. If we stay on our knees and keep united, there are no numbers of bad hair day people that are going to tear us apart. And maybe, just maybe, we change them to be part of the body of Christ. This was a tough message for me. Because it just points the finger back to me when it relates to dealing with various types of people. But with that, we've completed the series. The series of the people we will meet. And if you remember, the people we will meet will come from everywhere. Just remember that everybody has a story. Get to know that story. Some people will come here that's going to be somewhat different, a half bubble off level. But let's get excited about it. Let's celebrate differences. Let's grow this church and be united under one God, one Spirit, one baptism, one Lord. Let's do that. And we will be dealing with bad hair day people. But let's be united and bear one another in love. But when dealing with all these people, there's always one thing to remember. And I hope you have it. And I hope you take it home with you. I hope when you're exposed to these people, you say this. And that is, but for the grace of God, there go I. Let us pray. No, dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we sometimes want to do things our way and step out and hurt the people that seem to want to hurt us. Thank you for your word that tells us that we need to bear up with those people. We need to be humble and gentle. We need to understand that we're only one choice or one decision or one attitude from being just like them. With that, Lord, we just ask you that you keep us united as a church, that you help us grow as a living organism, a living body with the function of changing lives and investing in lives for you. There might be somebody here today that doesn't understand this story and doesn't understand why would we ever be nice to somebody, especially when they seek to destroy everything that you have grown here. But we do have a living Christ, a Savior, that loved us so much and bared up with us and was gentle and humble and hung himself on the cross and shed that blood just for us, just for us. If there's anybody here that's never heard that message and wants a relationship with this Christ, that wants to join this body of believers, that wants to be united with one God and one Savior and one Spirit, now's the time to accept him as your Savior. It's very easy. You just say, God, I just repent of everything from the past. I just want you as part of my life. I just want to have a relationship with you. And I want to be in a body of believers to hold me up, to sustain me, to take the stuff that I give out, but to love me through it. I mean, if anybody wants that relationship, all they have to do is say, Lord, just come into my life. I'm going to ask with every head bowed, every eye closed, whether there's anybody here that wants to make that commitment, wants to say, Lord, I want that relationship with you. I do. I want that relationship with you. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Just, do you want that relationship with him? Is God calling you? Dear Lord, help us to be Christ-like. Lord, help us to be worthy of the calling that you've given us. And help us to bear one another in that great love that you've given us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.